Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Do you own or rent your home?
Sure you do.
And I bet it could be hard work. But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.
That's geico.com.
Wow, Jake, what an amazing tour we got.
There was so much cool stuff there.
We literally went to the Creature Master Maker, and we got to see his whole entire studio. You guys want to check that out. It's on the YouTube channel. Just go to youtube.com/Brennan Taylor. You can see it there. And this is also going to be living on the Share Your Scare YouTube channel, so if you guys don't check out the Share Your Scare page, make sure you do that now. Either way, welcome to Sus, Share Your Scare, where I talk to different people, hear their stories of survival, the paranormal, and all things sus. I'm your host, Brennan Taylor. This is my brother, the co-host, Jake Taylor.
What's up?
And today we have on creature special effects artist for monsters such as Freddy Krueger to making the Chucky doll. We have on Kevin Yeager.
Hey, guys.
Welcome.
Thank you so much for being on the podcast and the amazing tour.
Hey, thanks for coming over here.
Of course. I feel like not a lot of people get this opportunity, so thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
First off.
Yeah. No problem. I enjoyed it. It was good.
It was good. We had a good time. So if you guys haven't seen that video, go check it out. It's up on the pages now. But I want to get to know you a little bit more.
Okay.
I know we got to know each other a little bit during that tour, but where are you from originally?
I'm from Ohio. So I actually was born in Illinois. So I'm an Illinois boy.
Yeah.
And then we moved to Ohio when I was like 8.
Okay.
So, but I grew up there, and I didn't come out to Los Angeles till I was like 19.
Wow. So you spent most of your time at least your young adulthood.
Yeah.
In Ohio,
and I think that's where I developed the love of monsters, like watching really old films that were on late night TV. You know, we didn't have cable back then, so
so I
kind of began to experiment with makeup and stuff like that back in Ohio. And I think it was just it's cold weather, so it was kind of something to do, when you're cold, you just go down into your basement and hide away, get some in your room and stuff like that, and start imagining things.
Yeah, you know what's so crazy is you look like just like a normal guy. Like, you don't seem like you have like a sick or twisted, mindset, but like some of the monsters and the makeup that you have done kind of says otherwise. So like, how did that happen? I mean, you created Freddy Krueger. Like,
what are you saying, man?
How does this come about?
Well, I think most of the people in this business there are some oddballs, but I think we're mostly just nerds, really. We're like nerdy kids, like who'd like to put together model kits and stuff like that.
Right.
So the monster stuff is like, I think it just comes from what scares us. So we take those elements and kind of say, okay, if this scared me, even if it was a dog with teeth, in the neighborhood or something, we go, okay, I want to recreate that scary feeling that I had. So this monster is going to have like dog teeth in it. And we start putting elements together from our imagination. So it's really, we may be twisted, okay, normal looking on the outside, but twisted on the inside.
Right.
And I don't know. But we're pretty normal people.
Yeah.
We're just nerds.
Let's use the Chucky doll as an example. Like, how much of that do you get to like use your own personal vision on it, besides like what the producers and the directors want? Like, how much of it is you?
Sometimes you get total freedom.
Uh-huh.
You can create something from the time it's a sketch, you bring it to the producers, the director, and they love it, and then they trust you. That happened until I was in the crypt with a crypt keeper for me. But with Chucky, it was kind of tough because I had producers that wanted to have their input. The writer, certainly, from the script, has their input, and they describe things in the script in words. And then the director has something to say. And then you have a production designer. So by the time you get down to actually sitting down and talking about what Chucky looks like, it's a committee. It's like working for Mattel or a toy company. So we had to go through several phases. I think we went through like 7 different variations of Chucky before we finally nailed down the look.
Wow.
And with him, we started with the toy version. So we had to make that perfect and really sweet so you wouldn't be scared of it. The whole idea was that kids would fall in love with it. He had little dimples on him and stuff originally.
Yeah.
And then slowly, through the movie, he became this kind of more like the guy that was possessing him.
Right.
So Brad Dourif was the actor's name. And so we slowly made him look more and more like Brad.
Wow.
And he almost even gave him a 5 o'clock shadow and changed his eyes and made them icier and colder and more realistic and stuff like that. So it's with that, it was more of a bunch of people involved.
Got it.
But most of the time, I'm left on my own.
That's so sad.
Brandon, do you remember when we used to be upstairs in our room and we'd be like, Chucky's going to get you! And we would run down the stairs and we never even saw the movie Chucky.
We never saw it because we weren't allowed. My mom is sitting across the screen right now. She can attest to this. We weren't allowed to watch Chucky because, you know.
She's a good mom.
She was good.
Because then maybe you would have ended up being the twisted guy.
Right? And I still am, so I don't think she did that. No, but we used to scare that, like, as a, something to scare each other. We'd be like, Chucky's coming after you, Chucky's coming after you.
We'd all run down the stairs.
Did you ever make dolls yourself or like try to scare each
other? No, that just was the thing.
Or dress up.
It was just the thing. I mean, we always love to scare people. Yeah. Like the Halloween, we would like hide and behind trees when little trick-or-treaters would come by and jump out.
Yeah.
But that was like to the extent. So like now that we're full circle sitting next to the actual Chucky doll is pretty insane.
Does he scare you at all?
Not as much now.
You
know?
Just punt him, kick him away.
Right.
That's what we were talking about is like now like a movie like Chucky, like it's a lot harder to come out because people are, I feel like, not as afraid of stuff like
that. Yeah, I guess so. I mean, there's I think things have become more real. They try to do a Nightmare on Elm Street reboot.
Uh-huh.
And it didn't quite work because people love Freddy so much, and Robert Englund, who plays Freddy Krueger, is such a great character. But they made it more real, and I think that's how things have been going. Like, you know, movies like Saw, you know, if you remember those movies, the things that came out that were more realistic. And, you know, I don't know. I think we have enough real things going on in the world that are pretty scary right now, and you know, and even with serial killers, you know, there has been some, you know, nasty people out there, you know, crazy people. So I like the fantasy stuff. I like the things that are a little bit more over the top for me. But I think that things have gone over time, have gone more realistic.
So on that note, just serial killers, you make not only creatures, you make realistic people as well.
Yes.
Do you take any inspiration from that? Like, have you been walking down the street and be like, damn, that's one ugly dude. I'm going to sculpt him and use him in a movie?
Perfect.
I fantasized about, like, walking up to people and, do you mind if I take a picture of you? You know?
Yeah.
I think people have actually done that where they've paid him a couple bucks, like 20 bucks or something. There's some great looking people out there on the street. You know?
Yeah.
So, occasionally you do. I mean, I designed one character for a Tales from the Crypt episode I directed years ago. I actually cast my brother as a two-faced man. And I took the inspiration from a guy that was deformed from China. His name was Chang, and he had a secondary face on the side of his own face.
Wow.
And it had a primitive brain inside this little lump of hair, and then it had a mouth. So every time Chang moved his mouth, and so I used that as inspiration to design this character called Enoch for a Tales from the Crypt episode.
Wow.
And then I tortured my brother by sticking him in the makeup for 3.5 hours.
So how long does it take to do like a full bodysuit makeup effect?
Like something for, for example, Face the Music. We did, you know, Keanu Reeves and Alex Winter in muscle suits. And we had to have them come by the shop and take the cast. And that took about, I say, a half a day. We took their head cast, their hand cast, and then their torso casts, and that's what we built the muscle suit over. And the whole thing, I think, took about, I'd say, about 8 weeks from start to finish, from the body cast all the way through to have a finished product. So it's pretty extensive.
And then putting it on the day they're going to use it, how long does that take?
The body cast went on pretty quick. It's just a zipper up. We relied on CGI to kind of wipe the zipper out if we ever saw it. And Keanu, you know, both of them, it was New Orleans heat, and it was 98 degrees, no kidding. Humidity was huge. Like, I don't know what the percentage was up there, you know, close to 100. Yeah. And we were in shorts and T-shirts, and we were just dripping sweat.
Oh, wow.
These guys, they had ball caps on.
And this is like a jail scene too, right?
Yeah,
like
it's a jail scene in prison, yeah. They go visit themselves in the future in a potential, you know, life that they may have turned, the wrong way. So Keanu had a bald cap on. He had a mohawk on. He had a beard. You know, and then Alex had a full body. And that keeps like 80% of your heat in your head, right? You put a hat on in the wintertime just to stay warm. So these guys, and I don't know how they did it. I can't believe I didn't get punched. I can't believe they didn't lose an actor, you know, to death and exhaustion.
Right.
And they were stoic. I mean, then both of them had back issues because Keanu's been in, you know, motorcycle accidents, and Alex has a back problem. So they,
they're
like me, you know, they're not young spring
even like me. I mean, I'm sitting in here, it's nice temperature, and I'm kind of sweating. I could never be in that.
Can you imagine? New Orleans in July.
Yeah, no, thank you.
I bet the people that are watching this right now and they're seeing some of this stuff that's around us right now, they might get this idea of like, how do I get one of those? How does this happen? So say someone has a dream of, you know, maybe making a production and making something like this. How much would a movie company have to pay you to make a full
body? You know,
like
it's hard to say, and I don't want to price myself.
Right.
I tell you what, because if I say a price or something, even out loud, well, you never know. And then you know, you want to get as much money as you can.
Right.
You know, you're just like, hey, I'm going to ask for this much. You want to make sure your costs are covered. You have to, labor's a big part of it, like getting help. I can't do this stuff by myself.
Yeah,
so I've got a crew. I had a crew of about 12 people on Face the Music. So it's hard to say, give a price, but I've done, let me just put it this way, I've done things cheap, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, you know, for $1,000, which is very cheap when you're thinking about salaries and things, all the way up to, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. So it's hard to, you know, like Chucky was a lot of money because he was 9 different pieces and he was mechanical and all that stuff. And, you know, it took like months and months, like 4 months to build him.
Wow. And speaking about Chucky, since we're on the Chucky subject, mm-hmm. like, when you first got this gig, right? You got the gig. Was Chucky didn't exist yet, right? Like you didn't know how big this could be or anything
that. No, we never really know. I mean, Nightmare on Elm Street, I did Freddy Krueger's makeup for the second film.
Mm-hmm.
The first film had already been a hit. I mean, technically it had been out for like 3 or 4 months before we started. So they knew they had some, it was making money. Money was coming in. They did still don't know how big. I mean, they ever imagine nine? I mean, what they made 9 films of Nightmare on Elm Street.
Right, there's too many to count.
There's too many, and it's just huge franchise and stuff like that. And there's some merchandising and all that kind of stuff. So they don't really know, but they're, you know, there's a lot of pressure, you know, on me to make that. But with Chucky, we were starting kind of new, and I kind of like that because we don't know there's no pressure really.
Right.
There was pressure in the fact that if I made this doll and it didn't work, I've lost all this money for the production company, the studio. I'll never work again.
I
mean, you're done.
Wow.
So, and I'm 25 years old. I'm your age, right?
Yeah, 25.
Yeah, 25. And you know, building this, and I've got, you know, I had 30 some odd people working for me.
Wow.
All of them were older. None
wow.
of them respected me because I was too young. They treated me like a young punk. You know, not that
that's
I'm saying
how they
you're,
treat me.
No,
you know?
Not
I understand now.
But so it was. I was frightened to death.
Yeah.
I mean, for something, I don't know why. I mean, I'm sure you guys can say this, but when you're that young, you just jump off the cliff. You just do it.
And
as you get older, you get scared. You know, you start wearing comfortable clothes. You don't you don't leave the house.
Yeah,
you know, stuff like that.
You hang up the skinny jeans.
Yeah, that's it. So I don't know. I'm glad I was young when I took on that film.
That's crazy because, like, see, I'm 25 now, and I'm sure there's probably people listening to this that are 25 as well, and that just seems like a whole other level of responsibility that even I don't think I can handle. Like, to be in charge of you, so you were like head. What do they call it? Like, what's your position?
Special
called?
Head of
just makeup effects artist, the studio.
Head
of my I guess makeup effects.
So
lab.
This was all on you. Like, all these people had to like nail this.
Yes.
Wow.
And so when you go on you're on the set for the first time, I mean, that was the most nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
I remember the first shot was Chucky grabbing these keys off a desk. And it was just a hand. So it was just an insert of a hand. And even that, I was nervous. And then we had this scene where he comes around the corner and he looks in through this window. And I remember that being, because I thought, if you see the director roll his eyes or someone go shake their head, you know you're in trouble.
Exactly.
And then it's meeting after meeting after meeting. Maybe you're going to get fired. Maybe they're going to bring somebody else in to replace you. So I kept pushing those in the back of my mind. I just, every time they came out, that little voice, you're no good. You're not going to make it. Chucky's not going to work. You know, whatever, you had those doubts.
Yeah.
And you just have to kind of move through that, you know, and kind of ignore it. But I tell you, I didn't get much sleep. I'll tell you that.
Well, I bet that really shaped the person that you are today. You know, it really made you have
I'm neurotic now.
Hey,
I'm all
sense.
Messed up.
It all makes
I'm
sense.
I'm on heavy drugs right now.
Whoa, well, there.
Just kidding.
Just play. How long have you been, like, how long has this... You've been doing makeup like professionally. Like how many years?
35.
35
yeah, I came out in 1983.
Wow.
I was 20 years old, 2021. And one of the first things I got to work on was Michael Jackson's Thriller. And I got
to
actually get dressed up like a zombie, you know, whatever, a corpse, The Walking Dead. And I got to chase him around in the video. The guy
that
in charge,
so
Rick
awesome.
Baker, you know, did American Werewolf from London. It was a big hit back in those days. And so he got hired by John Landis, who directed this whole thing with Michael. And then Rick heard I was a big Michael Jackson fan, so he said, hey, Kevin, you want to... Yeah, I was helping with a couple of makeups and on the dancers and things like that. So he said, you want to be in it? I said, I would love to.
Of course.
Yeah.
And so he said, just go to the makeup trailer, get fitted up for a mask. I remember there was a scene where we're all surrounded Michael in the video, and we're all beginning to slowly walk in. We're in a circle around him. I don't know if you remember this shot, but... So we start moving in, and then you know the director called cut, and everyone kind of went back to their perspective. They went back to one, right,
mm-hmm.
their first mark. And I was just standing there, just mesmerized by Michael Jackson, you know, watching him dance. It was amazing. I'm a kid from Ohio. you know, I've been out here 2 months, and I'm just looking at Michael Jackson, and I just froze. And he looked over and started looking back at me. And we started staring. Like, we're having a moment. Right? I'm having a moment with Michael Jackson. And then I realized you have this hideous corpse mask on, and I'm completely freaking him out. So he kept looking, and then he turned away finally, kept looking, and I think he went over to somebody and pointed at me, like, get that guy off the set. But I didn't kick me off the set, and it was just a blast. So, I started out, you know, doing stuff like that when I first started.
That is crazy. So you really have been around, you know. How old was Mike at this time?
So he was 25 at that time. He was your age.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
And he'd had already an off-the-wall album.
So he was already, like, really iconic at this moment.
Yeah, he was.
Superstar.
Yeah.
So when you're preparing one of these, do you prepare them for camera, for set, or is there like a different type of like makeup and lighting?
Sometimes, I mean, you know, yeah, we basically make sure that we've talked to the director of photography, we have discussions with him, we know what kind of light it's going to be in. For example, I did Sleepy Hollow, and we had to create blood that was really hot pink. I mean, if you saw it in person, it looks like paint, like a pair of hot, you know, hot pants or whatever, you'd be like this hot pink. But it photographed because they took it through a process where they double printed it or something and enriched the blacks, and then it would go red. So you have to have discussions about what's the blood going to look like, what's the, you know, what kind of conditions are we shooting in. So all that stuff has been discussed. We discussed heavily in Face the Music about, and Bill and Ted's about what kind of heat we had to deal with. You know, so that's always a discussion, you know, before we actually, you know, shoot, before we go to set.
I've always been one of those people that I work on something and then like I'll get frustrated and sometimes I won't even finish it. So it's being like a person like yourself where you have to like really work on tons of different things. Has there ever been a time where you were working on something very difficult and either it just wasn't working out for you and you like, how do you deal with that? Especially with like having to, like, you know, someone's making you do stuff and you can't do it. Like, what do you do
in that? All the time. I mean, you know, when, and you know, you're an artist, you know, I'm going to call you an artist because I think you are. And, you know, I'm an artist and they always say that art is never finished. It's abandoned because you do, there's something you always wanted to do.
Right.
And all the time I've got sculptures all over my house. I got a horse next door that I was working on. That's been sitting in clay for 10 years. I want to turn it into a bronze, but you just start things and then, yeah, sometimes, but when you are working on a film, like you mentioned, you don't have that luxury to kind of take your time with it. And so you just got to do it. You know, I was hearing a story the other day about writers, you know, about how writers, they have to have a muse. They have to, you know, get a feeling. They have to be inspired by something. And this person just said, no, you just have to write because it's your job.
Yeah.
So you'd have to complete these things. You know, when you're working on stuff, you have to get them done because they got to be on air, right? So same thing with this. You know, you just have to get it done or you know, again, you lose your job and you never work again. That's a huge motivation, by the way.
Yeah, that's like something that'll definitely get me to finish something for sure. Has there ever been a single thing that you created that, you know, you weren't 100% happy with?
Oh, yeah, all the time. I mean,
that made it into the movie.
Absolutely. Like, on Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, I was working on 5 pictures, and practical effects were huge. I mean, everyone had work. And I remember being not happy with everything, how it turned out. I mean, I wanted the stations to look a little bit, the characters in the film, wanted them to look better. You know, I just felt like I had to cut corners for time.
Wow.
So you're always, I mean, I don't think an artist is ever pleased with anything he's done. You know, he goes back and thinks, like, I could have made that a little bit better. But you have to live with it. And I think then later when I look back on it and I forget about all the pain and the torture that it went through to create it, I go back and go, we did a pretty good job on that. I mean, I look back and that's, I kind of like that feeling. Now, if I look back on something I did and I don't like, then I get back to like, I hate it. You know, I want to go back and redo it.
Right.
Go back in a time machine. And
yeah, but
things.
I mean, hey, it's like you could honestly say, you know, Chucky was supposed to be blonde and he turned out to be a redhead.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
You could tell that to someone and it could be actually true. So,
hey,
that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, little Easter eggs about things.
Yeah.
So have you worked with like crazy iconic actors, Keanu Reeves, Johnny Depp, Robert De Niro, Denzel Washington, the
John
list goes on and on, Nicolas Cage.
He knows my resume.
I did my research.
Yeah.
So if you pulled your phone out right now, whose number would you have? Who's the most famous person you have in your phone book?
I've got Nick Nolte's, I've got Dana Carvey, I've got who was in Master Disguise.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys know. He's an SNL guy, you know.
Yeah.
I got a couple more. I had Johnny Depp's, a couple of his emails for a while. I don't know if they're still intact.
Don't leak those. You know?
I have Keanu Reeves' email. I have Alex Winter's email. So, during the time you shoot, you know, afterwards, there's no reason to contact them unless you guys are buds, you know. Or you guys, hey. You
go get
but
Starbucks.
A lot of times they're so busy that they move on. They just kind of, you know, next thing you know, they've got other relationship with other makeup people or something. So I try to hold on to him. I never call him my 10 years. I thought about calling Nick Nolte, actually, just out of the blue. He's an older actor, you know. And, you know, he's a bit of a, he's a, he likes his, you know, his party times. You know, it has in the past, right? So I just thought about calling him, kind of freaking him out. Like, hey, Nick, it's Kevin. Kevin who? Like, I'm Donald, you know, I'm at your door right now just to mess with him. I don't know. Because we used to go out actually drinking when we were working on this show. You know, we had a lot of time off on this show called Spiderwick. And so he and I would go, you know, go out drinking with another guy and hanging out. So I thought I had his number. So I just mess with him 10 years later.
It's almost the end of the year. And I want to know, Jake, are you where you want to be physically?
Well, to be honest, I was supposed to have a six pack and all I have is a six pack of rolls. So I don't think so.
Okay. Well, have you heard of HelloFresh?
Not exactly, but I've been seeing a lot of ads on TikTok.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So basically they're a food subscription service.
Those are the ones that lower your carbon footprint, right?
Exactly. So you have heard of them. Ordering from HelloFresh, rather than going to the grocery store, you're reducing your food waste by at least 25%.
That's cool. We should do an experiment and see the positive effects this has on our bodies.
I'm so confident that it's going to work that I want to challenge all the listeners. Okay, Jake, let's challenge all the listeners to get back in the groove of eating right. Okay, so I have a code for people listening at home to go to HelloFresh.com. Use the code SCARE90 to get $90 off, including free shipping.
I just pulled up their menu. The food they have is crazy.
Read some of them off for us, Jake.
All right, they got a black bean and poblano quesadillas.
Ooh.
They have pecan crusted trout.
Ooh.
Toasted coconut tempura shrimp
and
garlic butter shrimp scampi.
Oh my God. And I'm sure they have pages and pages more.
Oh, it's nuts.
Another cool thing about HelloFresh is that they use a no-contact delivery to your door. It's super easy for at-home cooking with the family.
My biggest thing about eating clean is the lack of knowing how to cook.
Well, cool thing for you is HelloFresh offers more than 20 chef-crafted delicious options every week to help you break out of your recipe rut. Try new things and make any night feel special.
Yeah, but wait, we travel constantly for our videos. Isn't everything just going to get bad?
Well, you can change your meal plan or preferences and skip a week anytime you want directly on the app, so there's absolutely no food wasted. And if you're not sold yet, HelloFresh is committed to donating meals to people in need. So far in 2020, they donated 3.5 million meals.
Sick. Just go to HelloFresh.com and use code SCARE90.
That's SCARE90 for $90 off, including free delivery. And check back next week and see our results.
Oh.
I can't wait. These films that you work on, I'm assuming they take a very long time to do.
Yes.
Before COVID, like, what was your normal like schedule like? Was it you were mostly working on shows, movies?
Okay. I did a series called Bones for Fox for 12 years, and that was kind of nice. My daughter was growing up into a point where I felt like I had to be around. You guys don't know this when you have kids. Yeah, they get to about 15 years old, and you're like, okay, you know, boys are coming into play, and then there's partying and all that stuff. So I felt that I had to, and so I turned down like a couple of films, X-Men 2, I've turned down, a bunch of films, and then started just working at home, and then this Bones came up, and so for 12 years I got to do that. I still was had other projects going on, but that was my main bread and butter. It was great to stay home. I mean, films, especially now because of the cost, I guess, related to Los Angeles, they're going out of town. They're going to, they're going everywhere.
Different parts,
just because they're cheaper to do and the taxes and stuff like that. So I was traveling a lot, and it's great to stay home, you know. So I did that, you know, and then, you know, things like Bill and Ted's Face the Music came up, and I'm producing a film, you know, short film, you know, that I'm putting together right now. So I'm keeping busy in the COVID time, you know. There's other projects I can't talk about.
Of course. So you were on the original Bill and Ted's.
Mm-hmm.
How was it going back? What was the difference, like 25 years?
30 years? I think
so how was that going from the first time meeting these guys and then seeing them 30 years later and redoing it?
Well, I got to work. I hadn't seen Alex since Bogus Journey. And so when we had done a lot of makeups, I did this. He played his grandmother, and he played Granny Preston. It was his grandmother. So I got to do heavy makeups on him and stuff like that. And he loves makeup. Keanu, not so much, but Alex loves makeups. So it was great to see him again. He was always playful, you know, whatever. Yeah. Keanu I got to work with on Matrix 1 and 2. So he came over. I had to take a chest cast of him for that, a head cast of him. So, you know, I got to see him over the years. I hadn't seen him for, I don't know when Matrix 2 was, maybe 2 and 3, I think. It was, 10, 12 years ago, something like that. So I saw him over time. But it was great to get, you know, to see them again, you know, after all this time. And it's kind of like we're all about the same age. They're a little younger than I am. But it was nice to kind of say, hey, we're still here. Keanu would say, I'm just happy to still be here. This is great, you know.
Yeah.
So again, he wasn't loving. you know, he was giving me a hard time about not having a scanner, because now you scan for people, you know, scan their faces instead of the old school taking impressions off them. I still do that. I still do the old school. It's quicker. It's cheaper.
Yeah.
I don't have a scanner. I don't have all the equipment. I could go over it. A lot of buddies have it, and I could use it. But I just thought, let's do it the old school way. So he was saying, you know, Jaeger, you know, you own this building, but you can't afford a scanner? What the heck's going on? So, you know, and if you could do that, because we're sort of old friends. So.
Yeah, that's cool.
So with that scanner, how does it work? Do you like 3D?
You can literally, like, now, before they used to, you know, when they first came out, you had to stand perfectly still for, like, think a minute, and the scanner would go around you. It was a big, giant thing. Now you can literally hold it up and walk around the person, and the computer makes, if you're in and out with a scanner, the computer can totally, you know, correct all that. So it happens 5 minutes. You pull up in a van, you get out, do it, and go.
Wow.
It's really fast. You know, it doesn't get as great a detail as a head cast. You see those head casts on my wall. They've got pores and stuff. It'll do pretty well, pretty darn good. There's some that can actually do as good, but they're tiny. But the hand scanners that you do actors with are not as detailed.
Yeah, it's crazy.
What do you prefer? Like, do you prefer working on, like, a movie where you can kind of make something from scratch in a way, like use your own creativity, or do you like working on a show like Bones, where, you know, you kind of have consistent work because it's already a show and it's been going on?
I like consistent work. Yeah. Who doesn't, right?
I was asking that. While I was asking, I was like, oh, okay.
That's stupid.
You know, it's great to go off and do a movie like Face the Music, because, you know, I can do really cool stuff. We were able to do, I mean, I couldn't do the work that I do in Bones on Face the Music. We had, for each guy, we had 4 or 5 sets of appliances, and you can see these here.
Yeah.
All the hair's been punched in. These are just the back of the head, you know, appliances. But all the hair's been punched in one by one. And you take the time to really make it great. And in the end, you get this, you know, these looks that I put them online, and people that saw the movie, and they just can't believe that they're actually the guys. That's a huge ego boost, right? It's a big ego boost to you. On Bones, you know, you figure it's kind of also a challenge, because you figure out, and how in 3 days do I make this corpse?
Right.
How can I make this deer head? I had to make a deer head that was a severed deer head that was in the episode. And I thought it turned out pretty good. It's hanging on the wall over there. But I had like 4 days to make it. And I had to fabricate it out of, like, upholstery foam, what your mattresses are made out of.
Wow.
Had to hand carve it, like, out of the scissors and glue it together. Wow. And then cover it with fake fur. Emily Deschanel is our lead actress. It was our lead actress in that movie. And she's a vegan. Nothing animal can be on the set, you know. So she swore that the hair I used was real. And we had to flip it over and show her that it was fabric on the back. It was actually fake hair. So she kind of backed off that. But anyway, that's you know, something that, you know, was always a challenge.
Well, I never even really thought of that. So, like, as an actor or an actress, do you kind of have the final say when it comes to certain, like, things like that? Like, if you used real fur, could she have just said no? And, like,
no, she's in charge. I mean,
she's in charge?
Yeah, because she's the executive producer. So so was David Boreanaz, who was her counterpart in that show. So if you didn't, you know, you don't tell him that you don't like his hockey team.
Right.
You know, you're careful about everything that you say. You don't want to mess with them. And if they lose faith in you, or if they don't like you, it just you may not get fired that day, but eventually
it catches up to
you. It's going to catch up to you. So it's best to play nice and do whatever you're told to do. I mean, in a sense, they respect you.
Yeah.
They're artists too, and they kind of look and go, they're wowed by this stuff. And so if the relationship works well, like Gary Oldman's an actor who, you know, he just will do anything with his face. You know, he'll twist it and do it. He loves makeup. Alex Winter loves makeup. Keanu, you know, wanted to make sure that we got it on. He appreciated the look. He thinks that he just says nothing but nice things about my art. But he also, Kevin, how can you make this faster? How can we get through this? You know, I don't want to burn out on this. So you have to. But Alex was like, put me in it for 12 hours. I don't care. You know. So it's that kind of thing, and you just have to work off of each actor and how they react to stuff.
That's crazy.
At the end of the day, when they're shooting these, like, 12, 14-hour days, how do you get the actors not to just, like, want to peel their face off because you have to use it for another day?
I'm gonna date myself, but I was working on Ozzy Osbourne with another makeup artist on an album called Bark at the Moon. This was back in the 80s. And we were doing a photo spread for Life magazine, so where he was a werewolf, you know, Bark at the Moon, right?
Yeah.
And he was holding his newborn, 3-month-old child, I think. And the first one, not Kelly. This is one of the oldest one. And she was just a little tiny thing. She may have been like 8 weeks. I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know.
Wow.
And he was holding, and he would, you know, he put him in this makeup. He was did a concert the night before. He was still, I think, hungover. Makeup was still smeared from the night before a concert. And he was holding, and just so we made him up like this monster. He's late, you know. he's kind of down like I think double cognacs, and so just to catch up take off that and hair of the dog, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So he's holding his daughter, we're doing the whole makeup for the shot, and it's like this horrific looking face and big long nails and teeth.
Yeah.
And he swore that she was going to wake up and see him and be frightened. Well, she could barely even focus. I mean, she was so young, she wouldn't have known the difference. So I think the photographer got like maybe maybe 30 shots off, which is like, and it's over. And he said, well, that's it, and passed it off, passed the baby off to Sharon, his wife, and then ran back to the hotel without us, ripped all the makeup off himself, including the wig, tore the wig, so he couldn't use it again if he wanted to, and just tore it all off, tried to take it off in the shower. Now, this stuff, you glue down with silicone adhesive, so it's almost like super glue. If you don't have the solvent, you're done. And he came back knowing he couldn't do it, so he came back kind of with his tail tucked between his legs and said, can you guys help me? And so we had to sit there, and try to take it off. And I think he was just kind of over that day. So we ended up he ended up giving us maybe 10 minutes, and then he said, okay, that's it. I'll do the rest in the shower. And again, so we just left him a bottle of remover, and I guess he got it off because he looks okay now.
And then you said you met your wife, who was actually in Child's Play.
Yes, Catherine Hicks, yeah.
You met her on set, I'm assuming, right?
Yes, we met for the first time in Chicago. We were doing an outdoor shot for Child's Play, and I came up with Chucky in the box, the doll that you held earlier. And I presented it to her. Now, it was really cold. It was like 30 below that day. And it was like in the middle of the night we were shooting.
Yeah.
And I had a mask on, so all she saw was my eyes. And I remember thinking, she's really pretty. This woman is really pretty. She's a little older than I am, but I thought, wow, she's an attractive looking woman. That's all I thought. Mm-hmm. No big deal. But she couldn't have seen me. But then later we met, without the masks on, the cold weather mask. And she, she started flirting with me. And it was just kind of, at the time, she was engaged, actually, for 4 years, though, 4 or 5 years. It wasn't going to happen. I was sort of estranged from my girlfriend. So it just kind of developed, and nothing happened. We were, cool. We just, no cheating went on. And then afterwards, we at the wrap party, we kind of talked about it. Like, did you ever have a thing? And so next thing you know, we said, I'd like to see you again. And then, so we exchanged numbers. And then I talked on the phone. I said, listen, I'm with somebody, you're with somebody. Let's, let's just either end it or whatever. So a couple months later, we ended those relationships and got together.
Wow.
And it's been over 30 years this year.
So ultimately, what brought together a 30-year relationship is this doll that is sitting next to you.
Yeah,
right
I'm very, very pleased with Chucky. Because
I mean, Chucky, a good wingman.
Chucky got my wife. Bought my house that I live in.
Your whole career, essentially. Yeah. Wow.
Live in a nice house
in
Bel Air.
Amazing.
So.
Well, look, I mentioned at the end of the YouTube video that we were going to talk about a price. You don't have to give me an exact price, but I'm just curious, okay? Like, I'm sitting around all this amazing movie memorabilia. If you were to go, sell this doll at, an auction, what would a doll like this go for? Since it's, the actual one used in it.
I can only tell you what somebody offered me for this
perfect.
Doll.
Okay, perfect. Let's hear it.
He came in, he's a collector guy, and they usually try to get something a little less than it would be top dollar retail, whatever. So he came in and he reached down in his pants and he pulled out a wad of $30,000 in cash and just said, will you take it for the doll? And I said, no, I'm not going to take it for the doll. And because I actually bring him with me to conventions and stuff like that. And I think maybe over time,
I feel like $30,000 isn't even that much.
Well, it was in cash. It was there. It's 30 grand. I mean, if I was desperate, I would have, thank you, here, take this rubber thing.
Yeah.
But so I thought, I'm going to hold on to it. But his whole idea was to buy it and then to sell it.
Right.
So he needs to make a profit if he decides to sell it or keep it. They always tell you, I'm going to keep this in my private collection. It'll never leave me, but you see it on the internet, a month later,
Exactly. How many of the Chucky dolls exist?
Well, there's been movies I didn't work on, so I worked for the first four.
So the first original ones?
The original ones, I don't know, maybe three or four that I have, as far as the dummy dolls.
Yeah.
The mechanical ones are all in pieces, and I've used them for other films, other Chucky films, so I don't actually know what that count is. I mean, we made about 12 different parts, insert legs, insert hands, different heads and stuff like that. And then there's been other movies, so I know that the guy that does them now has a lot of pieces and parts.
And are you allowed to just sell any of your pieces? These are all yours, or are they all contracted in movies?
They're under contract, so ultimately they own the rights, I own possession.
Got it.
But who knows? I may be selling them anyway. But other people have, they get out. I mean, the fact is that, when they get so old, they can't be used again, and maybe I'll sell my possession rights back to the studios. Right. I don't know. I haven't decided what I'm going to do.
That's
they could be
cool.
up for sale.
Yeah, hey, it's possible. You know what? You people at home need a solid wingman. Chucky might be hitting the black market pretty soon. Maybe you meet your own wife, right? Well, look at the name of the game is Share Your Scare. So tell us, Kevin, what is your biggest scare?
Taxes.
Yeah, I feel that, literally. Yeah. Now I feel that.
I think, you know, truly anything that's more real, like real monsters to me scare me. Mm-hmm. You know, serial killers.
Yeah.
Human beings actually scare me. Yeah. There's a couple out there I can mention, but I won't. They really scare me, human beings. But I think that's what it – I mean, when I see films that – I mean, Silence of the Lambs when it came out was just, you know, really frightening.
Right.
Because it's real. I mean, you know, I do like the fantasy thing and, you know, Freddy and all that stuff. But he's a ghost. You know, mm-hmm. He basically is a ghost. Chucky's a doll with a guy's soul inside of him. But I like – I mean, the things that really scare me are the real stories, you know, about the serial killer stuff. That's actually I'm more scared of.
Yeah.
Even Mike Myers, who was a kid, who was a real guy in Halloween – was a guy, you know, with a mask on, but he was a real serial killer. And those things are more frightening to me.
So sitting, like, around all these terrifying things, you're still afraid more of, like, a Charles Manson than a Freddy Krueger creeping over your shoulder.
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing was, like, there's a film called The Exorcist where Linda Blair, you know, transformed, where she was possessed by the devil. I grew up with some religion in my family, so I believed in the devil, you know, and when you see a little girl turn into Satan, it's pretty scary. Yeah. So that was actually my favorite horror film, and that probably scared me the most as a kid.
Didn't she, like, get really hurt in that, one of those shots?
Yeah, when they're yanking her back and forth. I mean, they didn't have child labor laws like they have now. They always have a social worker that sits on set. The parents are there. Everyone's looking over. You can't. Yeah. You have to make dummies, which gives me work. You know, you have to make a dummy of the girl. Yeah. They did have a dummy. But at one point, they did flail her back and forth, and I think she hurt her spine.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like your job has brought you some really cool, like, experiences in life. What would you say would be the highlight of like, maybe, like, a time in your life, your career, that was, like, the highlight moment?
I think the time when I was doing Face Off, probably, because I went from kind of B-films, like lower-budget films, and I kind of segued into directing. And the directing was really awesome. Yeah. I mean, Tales from the Crypt was such a great experience for me because I got to, again, build this character and then go all the way and direct him. And I got, you know, you guys are directing, right?
Yeah.
And so it's like it's a great feeling to control that and to edit something that didn't exist before. You know, so I think that was the time period. But also I was segueing into doing A films like Face Off and Starship Troopers and stuff like that. So you get to work with all these big stars that you get to work with the stars that are up and coming.
Yeah.
Like Johnny Depp was in the first Nightmare on Elm Street. You know, he was just that was his first job. And then later becomes the big Johnny Depp. But I get to work with Johnny. I get to work with these big stars and stuff like that and get to know the business at the top level. And that was the biggest, I think, high that time period. Late 90s and stuff.
What would you tell someone, a young version of you out there who's listening right now that maybe has similar interests? What would you, what kind of advice would you give someone?
Get into CGI. No, I'm kidding. you know, I always tell them just keep practicing everything. Like, you know, challenge yourself. You know, all the, you know, those seem like cliche answers, but just keep practicing, becoming better and better. I was obsessed with it. And my daughter asked me, you know, she wanted to be a director at one point because daddy directed or producer. Mm-hmm. She wanted to be an actress because her mother's an actor. So she wanted to do all these things. And I said, whatever you choose to do, I said, you've got to have passion about it that gets you up at it, you know, gets you into that set every day, even though the director's not nice or the actor you're working with isn't nice or the situation is trouble. You got to be able to live through that, right? So you have to be passionate about anything that you do. She's now in business. So, I mean, we didn't try to talk her out of getting into entertainment, but when she came to me, I said, it's okay, but that's just flavor of the day. You just woke up and said, hey, I want to be a director today. And I said, you have to live it. You have to think about it. Be obsessed with it. I want to do this. I want to do this. I want to do this. You know, and then that way, when it gets tough, you'll be able to survive. And she's always had a head for business. Mm-hmm. She used to come to my shop and, like, file things for me. And she'd make up her own. She had a travel agency.
She had, like, a Rolodex with all
that. She'd go over to all the guys and take their orders. And she had a restaurant and stuff.
Yeah,
so she always had a business. Then now she's in tech right now.
That's
in
awesome.
San Francisco.
It's good for her.
That's sweet. That's amazing. Look.
And she'll have a job for the rest of her life,
right.
too.
Yeah.
Me, I don't know. But,
exactly.
You know,
yeah. See how the movie industry goes after COVID, right?
Yeah.
Do you have anything that people need to know about right now? out?
Well, just out last month, and it's still in theaters, I believe, and you can get it on video on demand, is Bill and Ted Face the Music. Go see it. We did some fun stuff in it. They're going to really love it.
I'm going to be checking that out right after this episode.
Yes.
No, but where can the people find you if they don't know where you're at?
If they want to follow me on Instagram, I'm at YagerFX. It's YAGHERFX, the two letters FX. You can find me at Kevin Yeager Productions on Facebook. Where am I? Where else am I?
YouTube
channel. Yeah, I've got a YouTube channel. You can follow me.
Sweet. Well,
and
we'll
now you can follow
links.
Me on this show.
We're going to put links down below so you guys can check out Kevin's stuff.
Yeah.
Super amazing privilege that you let us be in here. So we really do appreciate it.
I had a great time.
Yeah,
you guys were great.
It was amazing. Thank you. If you guys want to come and check out his studio, you can come check it out on the YouTube channel. We're going to be posting a full walkthrough of this place. It's absolutely amazing. Come check out Kevin.
Also, KevinYager.com is my website, so you can look at everything in detail. You can see all the little pictures in detail.
Go check it out.
Check that out, because I kid you not, you guys are going to want to see what is in this man's studio. It's absolutely unreal, and I am so honored to have been able to see it. So again, thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
Check him out. Thank you guys for listening to Sus. And until next week, we'll see you guys later.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to Sus. Share your scare. Make sure to subscribe and check back every Wednesday for new episodes. And don't forget to tell your friends. Follow all of our social media links at shareyourscare.com. We're going to be doing tons of giveaways, but only for our most active fans. If you have a scare of your own that you want to share, leave us a voicemail. Our number is 626-275-8695. Or if you just want to shoot us an email, our email is shareyourscarepod@gmail.com. And that's spelled with a U-R. Until next Wednesday, stay sus.